Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 164, Let's Cook Scrappy with Joel Gameron. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, and boy, let me tell you, learning new things. Today's episode, I promise you're going to learn a couple of interesting things or two. I'm welcoming to the show Chef Joel Gameron, who is really into cooking with scraps or the stuff you maybe prep your food in the kitchen, you end up throwing away. He has an answer for just about everything in the kitchen that you might want to throw away, you can make something out of. We had a really, really awesome conversation. I'm going to get to that in a minute, you know, but before I do, I want to mention a couple of things just for housekeeping. First things first, the show notes for this particular episode you can find over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/164. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/164. You'll find the show notes, which will be links to things that Joel and I talk about in this episode. So especially if you want to find out more about his work with cooking scrappy and reducing food waste, you're going to want to check out the show notes because we'll have a lot of links there. Also, if you want to get a hold of me directly, you can certainly send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. It's probably the best way to get in touch with me. Another way to get in touch with me, and actually a lot of the other listeners, our nice little community over in our Facebook group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. We have a lot of fun over there. It's a private group, so it's, you know, not full of people pushing spam and selling stuff and all that kind of garbage. It's a really good group. Lots of great home cooks in there. Lots of new home cooks in there too, sharing ideas, sharing inspiration, answering questions. If you're interested in checking that out, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. Look, I don't want to keep you away from the conversation I had with Joel for any longer than I have to, because I have to say he was absolutely one of my favorite guests that I've ever had on the show. He's enthusiastic. He's passionate about what he does. It's contagious. And he's just a lot of fun to talk to. And like I said at the very beginning, he drops some serious knowledge bombs on using items in the kitchen that, frankly, I always throw away. For example, banana peels, peach leaves, pepper seeds, onion skins, mango pits. You name it. We talk about a lot of stuff, and he's got a lot of even more resources on his website. By the way, if you want to check that out, it's at joelgameron.com, which is joelgameoran.com. And again, if you just head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/164, I have links to everything he's got over there. So that's just one website you have to remember. Chef Joel Gameron is best known as the host for A&E's heat series Scraps. Joel has become one of the nation's most well-known sustainability-focused chefs. In addition to his television show, Joel served as the national chef for Sur La Table. He also makes monthly appearances on NBC's Today Show, and he's the author of Cooking Scrappy, which we'll actually talk a little bit about in the episode. He has a passion for cooking with typically tossed ingredients, and he has shown his millions of followers just how delicious and gratifying it can be to get scrappy in the kitchen, all while making personal impact on reducing climate change. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Chef Joel Gameron. All right, everybody, I'm here with Joel Gameron. And Joel, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm super duper excited to talk about cooking with scraps and all sorts of other interesting kitchen things with you.
Roger, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me virtually in your home.
Yeah, this is exciting. We get to see each other and record, and the pandemic lifestyle, like we were saying a minute ago. So
yeah. What are you going to do? You were saying your kid might bust into the door and interrupt the conversation, which I love when that happens on these calls and things like that. I'm in my garage right now in Seattle, Washington, because I've turned my garage into a cooking studio. So my kid cannot bust into the door and interrupt my son.
I like that. Maybe I need to do that. Make it bar the door. Yeah, make it impossible. So there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. And primarily your passion, I know, is cooking with scraps or cooking with the ugly food maybe that other people might toss away. And before we even get into that, I do have a confession to make myself.
Okay.
I'm a terrible user of ugly food and scrap food. Not that I wouldn't want to, but I'm the guy that will stand in the supermarket for 10 minutes and like pick out the 5 best apples. Right. I was talking to my wife and she's like, why don't we do the online ordering thing? It's like, I can't let other people pick out my produce.
Yeah.
A can of beans, whatever, but no, they're not going to go through the plums for me.
I get it. I mean, yeah.
And I'm also terrible with leftovers, and maybe you'll have some thoughts on that later, but, maybe we should start out and talk a little bit about yourself, your background and how you came to this whole, passion of using scraps in cooking.
Yeah. Well, everyone expects me because I cook with a lot of this food that most people throw away to come from a very humble background, but I grew up very comfortably, grew up with a family where there was always food on the table. I feel very grateful for that. And I think maybe that's what kind of tweaked a little bit of my focus. I always felt like we wasted a lot. We had big meals with a lot of food and we just felt like a wasteful American family. And maybe that weighed on me heavily as I kind of went into my career. I started cooking professionally around 18. I went to the Culinary Institute of America and the Culinary Institute of Florence, majored in restaurant management in college, and then hit the restaurant scene and worked in a ton of restaurants, both here and abroad. And during that time, learning from some of the world's best chefs, you realize that nobody throws anything away. And in a restaurant setting where every single ingredient, every ounce of that ingredient counts because the profit margins in restaurants are brutal, it's important that you throwing away a tomato skin or an ear of corn that's already been stripped or a chicken bone is like throwing cash down the drain. And so it's kind of ingrained in you as a young chef that everything has value, and that stayed with me. So, after working in restaurants for a long time, I was pretty depressed. It's a very, very hard environment. There were things I loved about it, like the rush of service and the camaraderie of the team. And there were things I hated about it, like the number one thing was just interacting with people. I really missed that. When you're a chef, you just didn't interact with people that much. You were interacting with each other, but I missed the diners, which was really a big part for me. So I realized that had to be part of my career. I soon discovered Sur La Table, who is offering cooking classes across the country. They're a retail store, if people don't know about them, that sells cookware, but at the same time also holds classes in their stores. So I early on found them, and that seemed like a good middle ground. I could teach people and cook, and that kind of married the two. And I found my love, which was empowering people in the kitchen. I was there for 10 years, became their national chef, moved to New York. And it was in a class that I realized that I was looking around at all the trash bowls, Roger, and I was thinking, holy crap, we're throwing away so much food. And I thought back to my education and realized that chefs would never allow this. Culinary school would never allow this. So why are we allowing this in homes? And that really set off my journey to tackle food waste. I did some research and realized, man, almost half the food we produce in America, half billions of dollars of food we waste. It's the number one reason we're in the climate change problem right now. The amount of food that goes into dumps and creates, emissions that are really dangerous outweighs anything we do with cars or technology. It's crazy. And then I saw that 1 out of 8 people in America go to bed hungry. So we're throwing away half our food and 1 out of 8 people go to bed starving. It didn't add up. And it really, really shook me. And so I went on a mission to change everything. And that's what brought me here today. I'm really excited to be here and kind of spread the gospel.
I love it. And we'll maybe talk about this later, but I also want to mention, I've been watching your show, Scraps, Parts Uneaten.
Yeah.
I think it's an A&E show. Yeah. I was not familiar with it before we sort of connected, but I absolutely love the show.
Oh, thanks.
It kind of strikes me as like the anti Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. You're going around the country cooking with scraps, but you're driving. Is it Pippi? It's like a Volkswagen. It's like a Volkswagen conversion van or something like that. And it's not even that. It's I love it. It's a really great show. And I have watched a few episodes. and I've already learned a ton of stuff. Like, for example, here's the other thing. I always like default to, like, what do you do with scraps? Oh, you either make a stock from it.
Yeah.
Or you throw it in a smoothie, right? Those are like my two go-to.
They're great. That's great. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. And so when you were, I think you were in South Carolina, you were cooking with shrimp shells.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I would just make a stock with that. I've done that before. But I think you ground it up and put it into a butter and made like a shrimp compound butter. It blew my mind because I didn't even know you could eat shrimp shells.
It was the coolest thing. It's cool, man. You know, we're one of the only countries in the world that throws away so much stuff. And so, yeah, Scraps the Show came out of me really pushing. I went to Food Network. I went to Cooking Channel. I went to History Channel. I went to Discovery. No one wanted to do a show about food waste. I couldn't believe it. Everyone said, hey, Joel, sounds like a cool show. I don't think anyone wants to learn how to cook with garbage. So, you know, very hard for me to get a show. And Katie Couric became a friend of mine in New York, and she signed on to be the executive producer. And then people started to really take the meeting seriously, and we finally got A&E to buy it, which was fantastic. To your point, the show is really about me traveling the country, meeting up with chef friends in different places, and cooking with really unexpected ingredients and really wowing locals. And Pippi, who is a 1963 VW van, she kind of represents a scrap. She was a piece of trash in the junkyard. We turned her into a little kitchen. We drove her around the country, and she is really the face of the movement. So it was such a cool show to be a part of. There's so many iterations and spinoffs we've done since then. I wrote a cookbook with HarperCollins all about it. So it's been a really cool thing to see it go. But yeah, people just didn't know you could eat things like shrimp shells. And there's so many ingredients that we have in our home every day that we throw away, and they're completely great. Like, I'll give you an example. What do you do with your onion peels? And don't say stock, Roger.
I would have said stock. But honestly, I don't know what else you would do with them. Let me think. Onion peels. I don't even know. I'm not even going to do it.
First of all, let me just say, there's nothing wrong with stock and smoothies. That's awesome. It's fantastic. You're saving food, which means you're saving money, and you're also saving the planet, which is fantastic. So with onion peels, things like, I like to grind mine up into batters. If you ever make fish and chips, you make a batter, and you could grind the batter in your smoothie with the onion peels, and you get this amazing oniony blast of flavor in your actual batter itself. You can dry out the onion peels in the oven, about 200 degrees, 400 Fahrenheit. I'm sorry, 200 degrees Fahrenheit. And for about, I would say, 15, 20 minutes, and they become like cracklings, and you can put them in your food processor with salt and make your own onion salt. They're totally edible. So I think about my chef chaining, and I think about kind of these flavor profiles, and it helps me kind of unlock the possibilities. And in both those examples, you're talking about, you know, not buying anything new, just incorporating into recipes you love.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. That's great. On that topic, if people are getting experimental in the kitchen with scrap, is there anything they definitely should not do? I mean, there must be some things that you should not eat, I'm guessing.
It's funny you said, definitely don't ever eat rhubarb leaves. Not that I have, but you will die very quickly. They're very poisonous. But there's something I like to say that's called cooking scrappy versus cooking crappy. Cooking crappy is when you see something that has hair growing on it, that's blue. We can use our senses. Maybe it smells. And it's gone bad. It's gone crappy. And so to me, it's not scrappy to try and save that and risk your health. Where it's scrappy is to do a little research. Oh, I didn't know I could use my peach leaves off this tree and make a tea out of it, or plunge them into sugar and make peach leaf sugar. And you just do a quick little Google search if you're really wondering. But some things that you should definitely not eat is avocado pits, which I've tried. A lot of people blend them into smoothies. The avocado board says don't. So I'm following the avocado board's advice. And then another one is eggshells. A lot of people, again, like to dry them out and grind them into things for an extra calcium boost. But I just throw mine in my garden. So eggshells, the egg board says the same thing. So I do my research. I check in with people before I recommend things. And you're a big cherry lover, right, Roger?
I am. The cherries are my favorite thing in the world. And my listeners know that because I can't stop talking about them.
I love cherries too. We both live in the Pacific Northwest and the cherries are booming here. Cherry pits, if you soak them in rum or in alcohol, they have a very good almondy flavor that gives off. So you can make really beautiful cocktails with kind of cherry pit infused liquor.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang.
That's crazy. I know.
Yeah, I'm writing that down and doing that next time I get my hands on some cherries.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So I like that cooking scrappy, not crappy. Do you have any other tips for just helping home cooks get over the mindset that they have to? And one of the reasons I bring this up, this mindset that you have to cook with perfect ingredients.
Yeah.
And I don't have to tell you this, but there are a lot of blogs. There's a lot of stuff out on the internet that it's like the ingredient is the most important thing. You need to
to
get the best organic. You know, there's this media murmur, right, that kind of trains home cooks. You can't cook with subpar stuff or you shouldn't. How do we get over that?
It's hard to get over, Roger, because we're totally preconditioned, right, to do it. And until we change, the retailers aren't going to change. So, for example, if you shop at Walmart and, you know, you're going to go pick the best avocados, they measure that. They know that the best avocados are being picked. And so they're going to keep buying those. And so if they see that they try and experiment and, you know, bring in all different sizes of oranges, except, you know, instead of just uniform oranges, and they see oranges going down in sales, guess what's going to happen? They're going to go back to uniform and we're going to waste a lot of oranges. So it's on the consumers to change our behavior. And that's my job, is to make it okay to do that. And so the first thing you can ask yourself as a consumer is think, does it really matter if something is a weird shape or if there is a weird color? And when you find out and you do just a little research, in one of my episodes, I break it down. I believe it's San Francisco season 2. There are 5 reasons why produce gets rejected from the store. And when you realize a pepper, just like, let's just say, you know, a good old fashioned bell pepper, if it doesn't stand up on its own and falls over, it's trash. And the reason for that is because they need to stack the peppers in the grocery store so that it's nice and high for us to be able to shop from. Pepper doesn't taste any different. It just isn't standing on its own. So they throw it away. That's ridiculous, with 1 out of 8 people in America starving. Leeks are another one. If you go into the store and you see leeks, they're chopped off at the top, when really there's like another, you know, foot of leek. And the reason why they chop it off is because it doesn't fit in our bags. So we don't take them home and people complain about it. That's crazy. That's all free vegetable. That's all vegetable that you could be bringing home, having twice as much for. So the faster that we realize it's going to save us money, which is, I think, what always people want to hear, the faster the grocery stores will change, and then we'll have a much better food system. But the number one thing you need to think about is it's going to save you money. And then my tip for home cooks is, once you get cooking at home and you have a recipe, you know, I start with, grab a little bowl, put it to the side. Don't use your trash for one meal. Just grab a bowl. All the food scraps, put in the bowl. Don't even use them. Push them to the side. Eat your meal. Have a great meal. After the meal, look at the food scraps, and I want you to freeze them. That's all I want you to do. Use your freezer. And then the next time that you just don't know what to cook, you don't have an idea, but you remember that you have those food scraps, that's when the light bulb moment happens. What I don't want you to do is try and use them in the moment. If you planned a beautiful dinner with pork chops and garlic mashed potatoes, trying to work in scraps is overwhelming for people. So push them to the side and the right moment will come, and then you will have that light bulb moment at home.
That's great. That's great advice. And not only that, but it would give people an idea of how much waste they are probably throwing away otherwise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done that before. I put stuff in a bowl and it's like, wow, that's a lot of stuff, right? That you're tossing or putting in the compost maybe.
Totally. Totally. But I think it's also something like, someone like you, Roger, you're an avid cook, right? And you were saying you throw food away a lot. And thank you for being honest about that. And by the way, I'm not perfect at it either, even though I'm a huge, I mean, there's times I have to throw things away too. So the best thing I can tell you is, just next time you throw something away, challenge yourself as a cook. You'll be a better cook to say, what could I do with this? Because the best chefs in the world use everything. So if you want to be a better cook, it's challenging to say, man, those Brussels sprouts are great, but what do I do with all these outer leaves? Could I fry them and use them as a garnish on top of a carrot soup? Could I throw them under the broiler, crisp them up, and throw them in a salad instead of croutons? It makes you a better cook at home to challenge yourself with that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And yeah, this is all fascinating to me because I've never, ever had anybody talk to me about this directly. You know, I mean, this is just a fascinating area that is always unspoken.
Yeah.
Except occasionally on a certain blog or a cooking show, they might mention that they're going to use the carrot tops for something.
You know? Right.
But the focus of this is just absolutely fascinating to me. As home cooks, I mean, you know, there's a certain variety, I would say, that are in, at least in North America, for a home cook's wheelhouse of ingredients, right? I mean, we're not, whatever you'd get at your typical supermarket. And if you're really adventurous, maybe you're going to some ethnic markets or you're going to Whole Foods and buying some produce that you may not have, mm-hmm. you know, in dinners all the time. But just in that sort of palette of ingredients that your typical home cook uses, and you've mentioned several already, but are there any other really interesting, like what ingredients scrap wise would you say would make a home cook go, what? I had no idea I could use that. I'm going to name one. I don't know if you have an answer for this. Can I put you on the spot?
Ready.
Banana peels.
I've got so many answers for banana peels. It's so funny. When I go talk across the country about this, I'll go to like a Google or a Facebook and do a really good chat and a book signing. Oh, your kiddo. Yes.
He's asking me if he can go check the mail. Okay.
I love it. That was awesome. So when I talk across the country, I do a game called Stump the Scrap where I ask the live audience, you know, stump me. And so your question is, remind me one more time, what is the banana peel?
Banana peels.
So banana peels are so interesting. They're totally edible. Again, Southeast Asia uses banana peels a lot in chutneys, things like that. Here's what I do with a banana peel. Number one, when you cook them low and slow, they become kind of jammy, almost like plums. So you add some sugar to it, you can make a really beautiful, like I said, chutney, jam. Those are great. I like to actually take them, scrape back a little bit of the extra flesh on the peel, dip them in some maple syrup, a little brown sugar, and actually crisp them up in a pan. They crisp up beautifully. Makes a really good vegan bacon. So you can, it's really nice to serve next to eggs, things like that. I love to chop it up, add it into my actual banana breads. Again, it's kind of like this chewy surprise inside. It's really nice, almost like a dried fruit texture. And then you can infuse it in things. If you're making like an ice cream or a caramel, you can literally just soak your banana peels in it and it picks up a lot of that banana flavor. So that's what I would do with banana peels. There's some good examples for you.
I'm blown away that you had so many examples.
Unfortunately, this is what I do for a living. So I've got examples of banana peels.
I was going to ask you about orange peels, but I watched the episode in, I think it was Los Angeles of your show,
yeah.
And you use them to make frozen pops, right? You use the
oranges
from the orchard. You peels and everything. Amazing. I didn't know.
They're delicious.
Yeah. I didn't know you could eat orange peels. I mean, it's logical that you could, but I just never have.
Totally. Another common one is, you know, the garlic skins, which I treat just like the onion skins. You can save those, put them in your stocks. Grind them up, just like I said, exactly the same way as onions. They're fantastic. I think a lot of people buy asparagus, and a lot of recipes ask for you to nick the bottoms of the asparagus off. Those are awesome in soups. They grind fantastic. They're a little bit stringy when you eat them on the asparagus. But when you grind them in a smooth, you know, in a food processor or a blender, they really break down. So they're fantastic in that way. I love mango pits. When we cut a mango, you're left with that pit with so much flesh on it. You could throw that in a little pot of water with a little bit of sugar, let it boil for about 45 minutes, and then you're able to kind of lift the pit out and scrape it with a spoon, and all the flesh will drop back into the pot. You're left with what looks like a bone, but it's really a naked mango pit, it's fantastic to save all that mango. You can't believe how much mango you get. And the last one I'll say is corn. You know, like, it's amazing how much we all cut corn off the cob, whether it's for a corn pudding or a sauteed corn or whatever. You know, you can make a corn stock so easily, or you could melt butter and soak your corn in it and have this corn butter that is incredible with seafood. Dip your lobster in that or toss it with a pasta, and it's incredible.
Wow. Those are incredible examples. Now, you mentioned you have a cookbook. Are there examples like this in your cookbook as well?
Yeah, that's what the cookbook's all about. It's called Cooking Scrappy. Came out a couple of years ago. And it's you know, what's interesting, Roger, is during this pandemic, the book has been selling even better than it ever has before. And oh, I love it. Awesome.
Yeah, for those of you who can't hear me, my son is checking in with us here.
What's your son's name?
Alex.
I can kind of.
Oh, you can kind of.
You can kind of. I love it.
He's all right, adorable. Give me just a few more minutes, okay? Go play with your cars or something.
He's so cute. He's not leaving, buddy.
He's a bit of a ham. All right, if you sit right there and be super quiet, you can stay here, okay?
None. Yes. We love Alex being here.
Okay. I just had to give him a little kiss on the cheek, I guess. Okay.
Yep, all right, that's all it takes sometimes. I'm going to need some bothering lessons. How old is Alex?
He's 8. He's going into, virtually going into third grade. Do you have a kid?
Yeah, we just had our first one. He's just turned 1, and we are expecting our second one in about 7 months. So okay. Any tips? I'm giving you scrap tips. You got to give me fatherhood tips.
You know what? All of our mantra, my wife and I, we said, whatever else we teach him, as long as he knows he's loved and we don't break him, I mean, he'll be fine. And I say that tongue in cheek, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, to be honest with you, and nobody does. Until you can look back on it and you can go, okay, I did all right. I'm hoping that's the case, but.
Yeah. And I honestly, that's the way I approach everything. And I think the way that you parent is, you know, that's a fantastic way to approach getting back into to the kitchen. It's just, you're not taking it too seriously, but it's extremely important to you. You want to make sure that there's space. And that's, you know, I think food is moving into this place right now. And you kind of said it in the beginning, you know, with social media, we all want perfection. We all want that amazing looking ingredient, that incredible looking final product. And the reality is, it's not possible. To get photos and food to look like that costs these influencers and people lots of money. I know because I am one of them. And I know for a fact, I've been on shoots where there's 10 people around me all touching the plate, making it look perfect in the light and I get it. And so the best food in the world is exactly the way you parent, where we touch it as least amount as we need to. We touch it when it's important, right? But really let the ingredient shine, like let your kid shine. And that's the right mentality to have. I love that. And that's really what Cooking Scrappy and kind of the way I approach the kitchen is all about.
I love it. And I think we were talking about your cookbook real quick before Alex came in. And I love how you made it so I can't edit that portion out now. Very sly, Joel.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it.
What was the name of the book?
Yeah, the book is called Cooking Scrappy, and like I said, it's doing incredible right now. It's kind of spiked in sales since the pandemic because we all want to stay at home and cook scrappy. So the book has 150 recipes, or is it 100? 100 recipes. 100 recipes, all about this. And it's all about scraps and how to look at things differently, and I get emails daily about, you know, you've made me look at something different, which is awesome. But I learn more from hearing from people, emails, social media, going out and hearing what they do with things. It's amazing. I one time was in Chicago on a book tour and someone mentioned, well, what do you do with chili seeds? You know, the seeds that are in your jalapenos. And I'm like, what? I have no idea what you do with chili seeds. And I totally got stumped. And then someone in the audience came up to me and she said, you know, I feed them to my chickens and they make the yolks really, really yellow. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I looked it up. It's totally true. And then this other guy told me about how to make your own chili flakes. And it's so I learned from all of us. I think that's the coolest part about this entire thing is people have stories about scraps that just blow my mind and really help kind of forward the movement.
That's fantastic. Is there anything else that you want to get to that we haven't mentioned?
You know, there's a couple of projects that I'm working on now that I would love to talk about. So One is I've teamed up with the United Soybean Board. They're an amazing group of people. People don't realize how sustainable soy is. And they're really big on backing American farmers. And so we came out with a series on Instagram called Stretched, where you take one ingredient and you stretch it to the max. So that banana peel bacon is on one of those episodes, and it's killer. And so I'm really proud of that project. If you want to check it out, head over to my Instagram at Joel Gamron, and you can watch that, which has been great. I've been doing a lot of virtual classes, which has been really cool. So I can cook and watch you, and you can watch me at the same time, and I can help correct and inspire you right in the moment. So you can sign up for those at joelgamron.com. But I'm having a blast doing my best, trying to be socially distant, Roger. And again, I just appreciate the opportunity to chat.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. And yeah, I checked out your website, and you've even got something on there where I can take a picture of my fridge
or the
inside of my fridge, or a video, and you guys will send ideas back. I don't know if I could get over the guilt of sending you a picture of the inside of my fridge, but it sounds like a cool idea.
Yeah. And most people just send me a list of what they have. But I think that was the biggest thing, is I didn't see a tool out there that helped people. You know, as a chef, I can open up a fridge or a cupboard and whip something up. But as home cooks, we, you know, people just don't have that skill set, which is totally understandable. So I thought, well, you have me. So email me at any time. Within 24 hours, I get back to you, and I can help give you a little inspiration for what you have.
Oh, my gosh. I might have to try that out.
Yes, it's fun. And I love how you go, your team will get back to me, or whatever you said. It's just me, buddy. It's just me. So I will get back to you personally.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I understand. Well, that's awesome. And everything you've mentioned, your Instagram page, your book and everything, I'll put links to that in my show notes. So the listeners, which I'll mention the number at the beginning of the show, or I already have. And I will definitely encourage them to go check out your social media and your shows. I think they're fantastic. And it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. And I can't wait for my audience to hear you. I think this is great.
So Roger, thank you so much again for thinking of me. Yeah.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thanks so much. And, you know, I'm going to think long and hard about an ingredient I'm going to stump you with, and I'm going to send you an email.
All right.
These days. So
I'll make you a deal. If you can stump me, I'll send you a cookbook.
Okay. Okay. All right.
That's the deal.
Okay. That sounds like a good deal. I might have to crowdsource from my audience. Is that
right? Yeah, that's what you should do. You should crowdsource. Tell them the challenge. I love it.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, Joel. Well, thanks so much. We'll maybe catch up soon. Folks, did you enjoy that conversation? Is Joel not the coolest guy in the world? Look, my mind is still blown with the whole banana peel bacon thing. I have to go out and try that. And just so you know, I did find that Instagram video that comes from that series Stretch that he did with the US Soy folks. I put that in the show notes, which again is at kitchencounterpodcast.com/164. So do go check that out. It's really, really cool. And in fact, you can spend an hour on his Instagram page just watching the videos in that series and the other stuff he's got on there. I guarantee you're going to find tons of stuff that you have never seen before. It's so cool. So Joel, thanks so much for coming on the show. It was an absolute pleasure having you. By the way, if any of you take Joel up on his offer and take a picture of the contents of your fridge or a video or whatever and send it over to him and he gets back with you, let me know how that goes. I'm really curious. I'll probably do that myself just to see what that's about. But it sounded like a very cool service, and he gets back to you himself on what you can cook with the stuff you've got in your fridge. So pretty cool. Well, folks, that's going to do it for another episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. As always, I'm extremely grateful that you've taken a little bit of time with me today to hear what I have to say, to listen to Joel and some of his amazing ideas. I hope you got a lot of value out of it. And look, if you did, I would love if you just took a moment to tell your friends, your family, your coworkers, whatever, if they might get a little bit of value out of what you heard on the show today, to share the podcast with them. Show them where they can find it on Apple Podcasts, or share the website link with them. That would be great. And it just helps to grow our great little community of home cooks here. Once again, if you'd like to get in touch with me directly, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. If you'd like to join our Facebook group, kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. Lots of cool people there. We can't wait for you to join us. All right, everybody. Once again, this is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And until next time, happy cooking.